Really great to hear from David and Claire and to see how their relationship with God and is real, and it's so helpful. And I wonder, have you ever had moments in your life that have just caused you to pause? Moments whenever you forget everything around you, you forget even what you have been doing or thinking, and our attention is directed towards something totally different. And it's usually in tragedy whenever we have these pausing moments, as I'm going to call them, pausing moments. And everything that we have sought to spend our time, money and effort on seem to pale into real insignificance in these pausing moments. And these can come from a phone call from the doctor and some bad news, or maybe it's the loss of a loved one, or maybe it's the loss of a celebrity that you hear of in the media, or even a global tragedy where we just pause and everything else around us seems to just freeze and our thoughts are taken elsewhere. And it's during these that we're not really concerned about what sort of clothes we're really that concerned about how much money we have. We're really that concerned with how our house looks. We're really that concerned with how we look overall. Everything else that we seem to spend a lot of time thinking of seems to pale into real insignificance. And in the last week or so, as you've heard about what's happening in Paris, I'm sure we all paused and reflected on what was going on there. And everything around us didn't really matter any longer as we were thinking of those in such a tragic situation. Or as you heard about the loss of John O'Loomer, who was the first real rugby global superstar, who had passed away at the age of 40 to a rare kidney disease. Somebody who brought rugby to a whole new level, who had entertained all of us as he ran over England in the 95 World Cup. Everything just paused around us. Or as I was about 22 or 23, and as I was playing rugby at ours on the field and next to us, somebody had dropped dead while playing a game that he loved, and everything that I was worried about that day just paled into insignificance as we were just hit by the tragedy. And I'm sure all of us can think of different situations in our lives where we pause and we reflect on the things that really matter. And I believe it's in these pausing moments that the veil between life and eternity is just pulled a little, and we get to see and we get to consider life and death and all the things that go along with it, and all of our questions that are raised as well of why has this happened? Why has this happened to him or to her? Why am I here? What would have happened if I had been there? How will I now live in response to what has happened? Some of these really big questions hit us in these pausing moments of life as we consider life and eternity. And a lot of folks have said a lot about death, and some of them are quite helpful, and some of them are funny, and some of them are unhelpful. And here's one from Woody Allen, who said, "I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens." And I think that sums up a lot of the current climate. Or as rap artist called Tupac said, "My only fear of death is that I'll come back reincarnated." Or Steve Jobs, who was the CEO of Apple, says, "I think death is the most wonderful invention of life. It purges the system of those old models that are now obsolete." Now, I don't know where you are, but I don't think any of those three views really offers any great deal of hope whenever we're really considering life and all that it is. So as we round off this evening, we're going to consider a family who have one of these pausing moments in the Bible as tragedy hits in their household and as we see Jesus react to it. And we're going to call it a hopeless situation. And it's a family where there are two sisters and a brother. It's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they are friends of Jesus whenever he lived here on earth about 2,000 years ago. And we read of this in John's Gospel in chapter 11. And some of the verses will show up here. We're only going to read some of the selective verses. If you really want to know the full story, follow along and read the verses we have left out, or else look it up later at home. So we enter here at verse 1, and it's 6 days before Lazarus' death that we read. So it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when they heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And here we see that Lazarus is in a critical and in a hopeless situation. And Mary and Martha have seen that Jesus has healed many others. And they are desperate that he comes into their hopeless situation. But you'll see that Jesus doesn't go right away. He remains where he is for another 2 days. So we then re-enter at verse 14. Say, "So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.'" Verse 17. "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And here, Jesus seems to show up 4 days too late for Mary and Martha and for the crowd. And they are mourning the loss of their brother Lazarus. And 4 days was the length of time that somebody was considered that there was no hope of resuscitation after they had passed away in that culture. And according to church history, Lazarus was only 30 years old when he would have passed away. Somebody had been taken from earth too young. And for Mary and for Martha, their world had just crashed down all around them. And this is where they have one of their pausing moments, I believe. Although Jesus steps into this and he speaks to them, and I believe he speaks in hope. So let's read on in verse 20. "When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Can you feel her heartache? She's nearly blaming Jesus that he wasn't here whenever she had called for him. If he had have come earlier, he would have been able to help. And then later on, we hear that Mary, her other sister, reiterates and echoes these words to Jesus as well. "Lord, if he had just been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You can nearly hear him saying, "Jesus, it's all your fault. God, where are you in all this?" And the crowd around them, as you read on, say, "Could not he who opens the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" I think the crowd here are seeing the pain of Mary and Martha, and they've seen the miracles of Jesus to heal those that are sick. And they're thinking, surely he could have just come. Surely he's her friend. He loved them. But let's turn and see how Jesus responds to Martha in verse 23. And the crowd, I believe, are listening in here as well. And we also get to listen in as well. So verse 23 to 26. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus here is bringing incredible hope into an incredibly hopeless situation. As the veil between life and death has just been pulled open, and they get an insight. As our world pauses, Jesus is speaking hope into this situation. He's saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." What hope? Do you believe this? Jesus points the sisters, the crowd, and us to himself. That he is the resurrection and the life. That he is the one that even though sickness and death come in this life, that there is more hope than there is sorrow. That there is a greater hope in Jesus. Maybe you've come here this evening, and in your life you have paused in the last week and you've considered the big questions of life. As you've seen some of the images on the media, or maybe in your own situation as well, you've had a really hopeless situation that has come into your life. And it's caused you to pause and to consider some of the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the point to all this? Will it ever end? I wonder, have you considered the words of Jesus in these hopeless situations? Or has your friends had hopeless situations as well? Have you had the opportunity to speak the hope of Jesus into some of those? Jesus is a resurrection and a life. He is the one that overcomes sickness and death, and he offers real and eternal life. Maybe you come here and you're just not convinced. You came to hear Dave and Claire as they're your friends, and you thought you'd come and support them. But maybe you're just not convinced by all of these claims that Jesus has. Well, let's go back into John 11, and at the end of the chapter, we see what happens. And we read that Jesus is going to the grave, that he is deeply moving earlier. We have read that Jesus has wept over the situation. And he calls to the grave, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man arose. He took off his grave clothes and they let him go. Here is the proof. Here is the proof that Jesus is the resurrection and life. That he can raise a dead man back to life. Here is just a glimpse of the power that Jesus has by raising one man back to life. This is something that only Jesus has ever done. Nobody else has ever raised somebody back to life. Only Jesus has the power to do that. And the good news for us this evening, in the 21st centuries, with the wars and the rumors of wars and the hopeless situations that seem to so often come into our lives and others, is that Jesus can speak hope in the hopeless situations, because he is the resurrection and the life. So in our moments where we pause in life, either on a local or on a global level, I wonder, what are you holding on to? What am I holding on to? We've heard what Dave and Claire were holding on to. What are you trusting in as the realities of a broken and a hurting world come crashing into your home, into your life, into your situation? Is it what clothes you're wearing? Is it how successful your education or your career was? Is it how big your house was or how fast your car was? Was it how successful or how popular you were? See, I don't think that these things that we spend so much of our time investing in will actually help us once the veil between life and death is pulled back. I don't believe we can rely on them as any iota of help, and they all pale into insignificance. Yet, on offer this evening is great hope. Hope in Jesus. And as we've seen in the story of Lazarus, he spoke hope into that hopeless situation. And with Claire and Dave, we heard how hope came into their situation as well. I wonder, will you allow him to speak hope into your hopeless situation as well? And as Dave and Claire said, that our greatest hopeless situation is our problem of sin, that we've all rebelled against a holy and awesome and an upright God, and we've all lived life our own way, and we've said, sod off, God, I'm in charge, no dear your rules, I'm going to live life my way, and we've all rebelled against God, and we are living in sin, and this is our greatest problem. This is our most hopeless situation, and yet the hope that we share with you this evening is that Christ can speak hope into that hopeless situation, because he went to the cross. He reached out from God to man to offer a bridge that can bring man back into right relationship with God. And the problem of sin that we have, and the sin that we can't get rid of through any of our good works, and we can't undo that terribly hopeless situation, Jesus says, I'll take that. That's why I went to the cross. He then was punished for us. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, and that's why there is death and sickness and hurt in the world, because of sin. Yet Jesus has come to die the death that we should have, so that we can be reconciled, so that we can brought back into relationship with God. Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death, although it doesn't end there. It says, the gift of God is eternal life. And that's good news. That is what our hurting, our loss, and our broken world, and what some of us here need to reach out to. It's a free gift. It's not forced on you. And it's a free gift for you this evening. And I wonder, will you reach out and grab it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do indeed speak hope in the hopeless situations. Father, we thank you for your word that we read, that you have the power to raise Lazarus to life, and in your own death and resurrection, you again prove that you have the power over death. And Father, I pray that you would help us to increase our faith and our vision of who you are, that you are the resurrection and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.